play the audio.
The Chatterbox.
The Chatterbox.
The Chatterbox.
The Chatterbox.
Ooh, Chatterbox.
Heyo.
Hello.
Ah, hello.
Hi. Wait, what's Illyria doing here?
Hello.
With Michael.
Yes.
It's show 70. Isn't that exciting?
Sure.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
Well, welcome to Shinny. We started to try to introduce ourselves, but
somebody else's turn.
Got off that train.
Yeah. Somebody else.
Okay, Mike, you want to go first, Rob?
I'm Rob.
I'm Michaela.
Michael?
No, you're Eeyore. Eeyore. And guess what? Matt's here.
Hello.
Hola.
Yeah.
We are here.
I know
here.
Things are probably a lot more professional, you know. Well, you're not used to this level of
professionalism.
With my community radio gig.
Well, that's got to be more professional than this.
That's very, yeah, definitely.
Like eons, eons more.
Yeah, I got a switchboard that costs several thousand dollars and you don't want to put anything near it.
You don't want to blow it up or spill anything on it or have anything make a sound or bleed into it.
Yeah, we're a non-profit. We can't afford that kind of stuff.
Don't be spilling your Coke on the sound machine.
No, but yeah, you always got to keep that stuff a safe distance. So, yeah, you don't just end up like chucking it at the thing. It will it'll stay dry.
Right. What about on Damn That Television? What about over there? Still high tech equipment?
Oh yeah, my Rock Band microphone and my laptop.
I have Rock Band microphone too.
Nice.
Yep, which I'm using for this one too. So
good.
It works.
I should eventually store for $299. Bam.
Yeah, I should eventually probably put some money into getting a better quality rig for the podcast.
Mm. Your voice overcomes any bad microphone. You're fine.
No, it sounds pretty good.
Yeah, it is a pretty good mic actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that voice doesn't help you.
That's true. Yeah, I found two of them at the thrift store for $2.99.
That's good.
They were perfectly good.
Can't beat that. No. I have never noticed a sound issue with it.
Oh, well, I haven't been using it. I use my Apple one.
No, not yours, Matt's.
No, Matt's. No, yeah. Matt's is great. And then you have Matt's voice, like I said. So you're all good. You're all good, Matt.
You're all good.
What's up?
What's up?
What's going on?
What are we excited for? Nobody's excited for anything.
That's a lie. I'm going to Florida in 2 weeks, which I'm excited for Star Wars Celebration.
Oh, is that? That'll be fun. Okay, is that when that's happening?
Yes.
For which celebration? Oh,
Star Wars.
Oh.
And I'm excited because Mark Hamill just announced his appearance there. And the group I'm going with, we bought the photo op. So we're splitting photo op with Mark Hamill. So that's pretty cool.
Oh, nice.
Oh, awesome.
Nice. Should be cool. Yeah. I wasn't really into, some of them were ridiculous. What's her face? Felicity Jones is going to be there. And I think her photo op was $400.
Woo.
It's insane.
Holy moly.
I don't care who you are.
Yeah.
Nobody's picture.
That's a little early in your career to be charging $400.
Yeah. Con stuff is strange. I don't think they even come up with these prices.
I think a lot of it's internal.
Yeah, but Mark Hamill, by comparison, was only $200, and that's you could put four people in the photo, so we're splitting it. So I would,
that's not bad.
And I feel like it's Mark Hamill, so it's worth it.
Yeah.
And
just get your other friends to stand far enough away that you can Photoshop them out later.
Yeah.
Is that just me?
Could do that.
Yeah.
But oh, you like your friends. There you go. I'm sorry. I
do like my friends. I do like people like their friends. Yeah. There's going to be a, so there's one of the big panels. They're going to have a Last Jedi panel with Rian Johnson and I think Kathleen Kennedy and stuff are going to be there. So, and apparently, so they open the line like the night before. So I might potentially be camping to see this. Just because I this is something like I really want to be in a room for this, you know, especially because they're probably going to show like a teaser trailer to us. So
true.
I want to be there. So like, that's the one, like, you know, I don't mind sacrificing some sleep for like this one thing. I think it'll be worth it. You know, I've never been, I've always wanted to go. So I want to make the most of it. That should be great. And we have like a, party hosted by the 501st Legion where Weird Al is going to perform. So that's going to be pretty cool.
Funny.
And they're having a Galactic Nights at Hollywood Studio. So there's a lot of fun stuff. It's going to be a really good trip. I'm really excited. Yeah. So it's coming up.
Nice. I'll be in Disney tomorrow night.
I'll be here in the rain planting potatoes. Enjoy yourself.
I will be dealing with the snow that we're so getting right as we're about to hit April.
What?
8 to 12 inches. Yay.
Wow. Yeah. That sounds fun. That's not right.
Yeah, it's been a weird winter. Like there was a whole bunch of mild stuff and now we've gotten like these snowstorms and it's almost April and it's just enough already. I'm over it. Granted, I'm over winter by like after Christmas, but I'm really over it now.
Yeah, it's enough. It's been a really weird winter, like you said. Like we don't get snow like that we got here this year in BC. That doesn't happen on the West Coast down this far, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Like it's very unusual. We'll maybe get an afternoon of snow that's gone by rush hour, but still screws rush hour up like for the whole night because nobody knows how to drive in it. But yeah, very unusual. And it stuck around and stuck around and stuck around, and it was unusually cold too. So two of my chicken waters cracked.
Oh, from the cold.
Yeah. These are the things farmers think about, just so you know.
Oh, you have to. You don't want stuff to freeze.
Yeah, this is true. No, you don't. Anyway.
Well, speaking of, I guess, things you're looking forward to, I'm looking forward to the roughly dozen or so shows that are premiering next month or coming back next month.
Mm-hmm.
April is crazy. Like, we have Better Call Saul, The Leftovers, Fargo, The Handmaid's Tale, MST3K. Wow. I think Doctor Who comes back.
Oh, yeah, that's back, yeah.
It is just it's nonstop. It's going to be
nice.
It's going to be a crazy month, but there's a lot of good stuff to be had.
Yeah. You know what's funny, though? It doesn't even feel like there's been a drought. Like, I don't feel like there's been a drought at all because there's still been such good stuff to watch.
Yeah, you know? For sure. There's been a lot of good stuff already. Yeah, we're, you know, only 3 months in, and yeah, there's still a lot of good contenders for best of.
Oh God,
2015 already.
We've been very spoiled recently, and even the stuff that's coming to Netflix Canada, you know, we're getting some good stuff too. They put up the list yesterday, so I'm excited for TV. I'm gonna park my ass on the couch, and the remote will be mine, Matt. Yes, it will.
Here we go.
The remote is mine.
As I like to close out my show with.
Yep.
It is not in the know.
Well, they should be. Get on it. Go listen to Matt and John. They do a lovely show.
Yes.
It's way more informative information than you'll ever get here.
Well, they actually watch stuff.
Yeah, and they know who people are.
Well, that,
like by
that
their
helps.
Names and yes. stuff. They know who directed things. It's crazy.
Yeah, I know what I'm talking about with pop culture for sure. And John certainly knows slouch either, and he knows a lot more about the comic stuff, which is obviously helpful with a lot of the, you know, the comic TV shows and movies.
And when he gets excited about things, he gets excited about things, and it's good.
Yep.
Yep. Yeah. Okay. Anyway. All right. So there's, I'm excited for Better Call Saul. I hope that.
Oh, I can't wait. Yeah.
Yeah. I hope it can keep going. Because I not only love the show, but I enjoy their podcast too.
I'm actually looking forward to the podcast like almost as much as the show.
It's funny, isn't it?
Yeah. But I think, I know there were some rumors or perhaps some confirmed things. So I think it's going to start getting closer to, or a lot more Breaking Bad references or characters or.
Right.
There's going to be a Pollos Hermanos pop up in New York.
I heard about that.
Yeah. Yeah. Might have to go check that out.
Yeah. You guys get all the fun stuff. You get frozen banana stands. Yeah. You get all of it. That's what you get for living in Metropolis.
Uh-huh. Yeah, but you have the Once Upon a Time show.
Yeah, that's you have a lot of stuff too.
You get all the CW shows.
Yeah, we're not slouchy around here. But I'm sad because apparently Legion is leaving Vancouver and there was something else there recently.
Oh, wow.
Another CW show, which I was not very happy to hear because it was two shows I really like. Was it Iron Fist and Legion, maybe? I think it might be. That couldn't have been Iron Fist. It must be something else. Anyway, I was sad.
Well, Rain just ended, so maybe that show?
No, they're actually going to film back in the States. They're leaving Vancouver to film, continue filming in the States, which doesn't happen very often. And, we do love our Vancouver shows, so.
There's a lot more stuff filming in the States. Like a lot of stuff shooting in New York. Like all the Netflix Marvel stuff is in New York.
Mm-hmm.
They were filming Defenders like right by me.
That's so fun.
Work, yeah.
Did they film Not Asian by there?
They filmed Not Asian.
Which one? There's so many now.
There's Iron Fist. I don't know.
Oh, Iron Fist. Oh, is that what they're calling it?
Yeah.
Not Asian? I don't know anything about it. See, was that a big controversy? I don't know about this.
No, that's that's an inside joke. You should know this.
Well, it's both. There is some controversy and also an inside joke.
Oh, well, yes.
Oh, no, I got the inside joke part. I just thought maybe there was actually, cause
people... Oh, well, I mean, yeah, he's not Asian.
Yeah, he's not Asian.
Also, Ghost in the Shell, not Asian.
Yeah.
Can I just say something?
I have more issue with
that. Like, not to defend or under, but let me just devil's advocate here.
What?
How often do you go to a country like in China or India where they've got white people in their stories? I'm just saying. Like, if they were to redo one of our stories, they'd cast their own people, right? Like, that's what would happen. Just say.
Yeah, but we have Asian people here.
They have white. You don't think there's white people in India? There's any white people in China?
I'm going to guess the percentage is much lower.
I will go on the record and say there's going to be a lot more Asian people here than white people in.
Yeah, percentage wise, I'm going to say yeah.
Maybe that's part of the problem. Maybe we just need to mix it up all together. What do you think?
Or maybe stop having Matt Damon save China on the. Great Wall and just...
No, see, I don't even watch that kind of shit, honestly. But so I saw somebody make that point online the other day, and I was like, you know what, that's actually an interesting point. Like, not a good point or a bad point, but it is an interesting point.
Well, it would be a fair point if they ever cast Asian lead actors.
But then again, I also don't know enough about... movies. Like, I don't watch a ton of Bollywood, to be honest, so maybe there are no, like, maybe they're not doing Romeo and Juliet.
I have no idea. I mean, what
Bollywood version
they
so
make...
why would they feel the need to cast British people? No. Well, I mean white British people.
Well, right? Yeah, I don't know if you would want to anyway because of colonialism, but whatever.
And bad tea.
Yeah.
But I was born there, I can say it.
I don't know what style movies. I mean, I'm sure they do all style movies in Bollywood. I mean, you're catering to a billion and change people, so.
Yeah, they make more movies than we do.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Well, and now so many movies are funded by international funding, really, yeah. Which you don't really need. It's not just strictly Hollywood anymore.
This is true.
Specifically with, like, the China market and stuff like that.
Right. Yeah, no, I mean, yeah. But I just thought that was an interesting thing.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, at some point, it gets old.
Oh, the whole thing's old at this point.
Yeah, but I mean, it's just like...
I'm so sick of old white men, I can't
It's like Kubo... Kubo and the Strings or whatever, where every single voice actor was some white person. Like, come on. Give me a fucking break.
I'll tell you what. I will never, I can promise you this, do Japanese voice animation.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
I'm embarrassingly bad at it.
Well, here's an idea. If you're going to cast, what's her name? What I don't even remember her name. Ghost in the Shell. What the hell's her name?
Oh, Scarlett. Yeah.
Yeah, Scarlett Johansson. Just fucking set it in like Chicago then, or wherever.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, if you're gonna take.
I mean, it's
story
fantasy anyway. What's different? You know, just do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that was some of them you can get away with it. Like in that one, like she's a robot though. So,
yeah. True. You know,
but I feel like some movies, like, it's fine, but they get, you know, more shit than they should. But there are definitely cases where, like, you know, there should be Asian actors.
Like Doctor Strange. Yeah.
Representation certainly is important. Yeah. You know,
but that character was also very interesting as it was presented to me. Like, I found that character interesting.
Yeah, that movie was all right. And it was
fine. Yeah. Nothing
great, nothing terrible. He should have just kept his British accent. It would have been a lot better. But, you know.
it would have been, yeah, that movie was kind of hokey. I felt bad that it was, like, the one Marvel movie I took my dad to. You know?
Yeah, that's, like, one of the few that I've actually seen, actually. Honestly, I don't really watch too many of them.
It was not great. It was very thin on lots of stuff.
Yeah, I find them all to be kind of that way.
Anyway.
Just not my thing.
I'm stopping the devil's advocate.
Oh, speaking of Marvel, well, we'll move on. Oop. Speaking of Marvel, in a way, but not the MCU, let's talk about the greatest comic book movie ever made.
Mm-hmm. Logan.
Logan?
Was that a segue?
Yeah,
that was a pretty good segue.
Yeah,
pretty masterful.
Womp, womp, womp.
It was excellent, absolutely excellent.
Yeah, no, my favorite comic book movie ever. Now surpassed Dark Knight Rises.
Really?
Yes.
Wait, what, you mean Dark Knight? Well, yes. Dark Knight is better than Dark Knight.
Yeah. Wait, which the second one? Whatever the fuck the second one's called.
Yeah, Dark
Knight. Yeah, Dark Knight.
Yeah, that's Dark Knight. Batman Begins, Dark Knight. Yeah.
Third one.
Yeah, you're right. No. It's definitely better than Dark Knight Rises. but, not that that was terrible, but it just wasn't up to, you know, Dark Knight. But I loved Logan. No hokey world ending nonsense. No zany quips every 5 seconds. no Robert Downey Jr. Just really good story. Yeah, there were parts.
It was a much smaller scale.
Yeah,
story than we're used to seeing a lot now. It's like somebody's got to destroy the world or whatever. But in this one, it's just, he's got to take care of this little girl and try and keep the little bit of light of mutant kind alive. You know, with all these forces trying to snuff it out.
Yeah, I feel like the whole world-ending thing is like, it means nothing anymore because every movie has a world-ending. That it was actually more intense wondering if a group of kids was going to make it than if the whole world was going to blow up.
Yeah, it's easier to connect to that because it's not just like the world-ending. It's just, oh, it's just a movie, whatever.
Yeah.
But if you're connected to the characters, then
you
get the sense of stakes much clearer. You know, it all matters to the characters, so we end up caring about it.
Yeah, it was really good. I mean, everything about it was really good.
Could you talk about how awesome Patrick Stewart and Hugh Jackman's like chemistry was, and just like their interact, like they were just awesome together.
Yeah, they really, you know, they're like, yeah, this is gonna be our last one, so let's make it count. And yeah, they're both really good.
It was a fan. It was like a fantastic goodbye to both the characters.
Yeah. Who would have thought, considering the first Wolverine movie is probably the worst Marvel movie ever made.
So yeah, the trajectory of those movies goes from being unwatchable to okay to this.
Yeah, it's, yeah. I thought he's always done the character well, but the movies just have always been, yeah, not great.
Yeah, it's not his
he's
fault.
Always been great.
Yeah, and I think, unfortunately, with this, they figured out what they should have been doing with Wolverine all along, because that's the type of character he is.
Yeah.
And they just never did it, because it always had to be something bigger, and some, you know, sometimes you just don't need to do bigger. And it was always trying to do PG-13 and all that, so yeah, you had all those issues too. And that's just not who Wolverine is as a character, so...
See, damn kids ruining everything.
Well, it's, you know, trying to grab the biggest market. You know, just the nature of the beast. But
so the Asian market.
Well, definitely. That is a
which
big market.
Are you talking
about? Well, no, the age group, different age groups. If you're PG-13, you can get a lot more varied age groups than you can if you're R.
But kids.
Yeah.
Sorry.
It was just nice to see him kind of care more about the integrity of the story rather than like, oh, you know, we don't want to make more money or like worry about, we want to make a PG-13 because more people will be in theaters, you know. It's just like,
yeah, it was nice to just get a real Wolverine story without having to worry about that.
Yeah, they cared about it and they actually wanted to make a good movie.
Yeah. Yeah, and while we're talking about the X-Men, what the hell? I just caught X-Men Apocalypse on HBO.
Oh, absolutely terrible.
Jesus. So
horrible.
They, like, I thought, was it End of Days? Is that what it was? The one? What was the one right before?
Days
of Future Past. Why am I thinking End of Days? Days of Future Past. I thought that was pretty solid and a nice reboot kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then they just, like, took a big pile of shit and threw it all over the screen. Basically,
yeah, it's like a 2.5 hour shrug. It is just,
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, like the whole, like, I already thought we did the Magneto redemption arc and we were in a whole new storyline and now we're doing it again.
Yeah,
but in a worse way.
And Apocalypse is one of my fave villains and he just totally was not done justice at all.
Yeah, it wasn't really. Yeah, he Apocalypse was not well done.
I mean, it's too purple.
Yeah.
Oscar Isaac deserved better.
Yeah.
And the whole what's his name's character, the fast kid.
Quicksilver?
Yeah. Is he Quicksilver in it? Is that what he is?
Yeah.
Okay, I couldn't remember for some reason. But the way they did it in this one was just so. But the whole, you know, the college or the school is the college. The school is blowing up, and he's slowly saving everybody. And I'm like,
they did it last in the other movie, so they had to do it in this one.
Yeah, it just felt so. But that one, you were learning about him being able to do it. This one, it was just like it just felt shoehorned in almost.
How did he realize that, like, it was about to explode? Because when we see him in the beginning of that sequence, he's just, like, outside on the street.
And... Yeah, he was just coming to the school to, you know, because of his familial connections. And, all of a sudden he's just saving people without knowing what the hell's going on. It was, I don't know. None of it made any sense to me, but, you know. It was a shame because I thought they were going in a good direction after that. You know, after the last one, Days of Future Past.
Yeah, they should just not have Bryan Singer do any more of these. Just keep him out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With Logan and, you know, when we get to Legion, we, you know, it's... that it's, we need, like, new blood in this franchise to keep it going.
Yeah. Yeah, cause I think Logan proved that on the movie end of it for sure, that it just... You can really do some good stuff with the X-Men in general, because all the characters have, you know, they don't have,
you have
to
a big sandbox to play in.
Yeah, you don't have to make it the whole team every single time, you know.
Yeah.
I think that's part of the problem. They try and jam every single person into it every single time, and you don't really need to.
No, you're not gonna be able to do, I don't think, a really, really great X-Men movie with a huge cast. Like, it just works better with smaller groups.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, and then every once in a while do, you know, the full X-Men, sure, or whatever, you know.
Kind of, they should do kind of what, you know, actual Marvel MCU did, and just kind of build up like a universe, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, and then be able to play with all the characters, not just, right, you know,
right, at different times. Because all these characters should be interesting on their own as well.
Yes, they all have enough story that you can pull from to, you know, do a million different movies. Mm-hmm. It would be nice to see them explore that a little more.
Yeah, I don't know what they're. I think they're supposed to be doing another, one with the same cast. I don't know.
I mean, I'd be okay with that as long as they learn.
Yeah, I mean, the first two were great. Like, first class was great, and Days of Future Past was pretty good. So, you know, maybe they can redeem themselves.
Yeah, hopefully. Hopefully. We can only hope.
What's with the curse of the third X-Men movie or something, you know?
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
Except for Logan, technically.
Except for Logan, yeah.
That's true,
yeah.
That is the one. Yeah.
Maybe it broke the curse.
That's technically hopefully the third Wolverine, yeah. Man, that movie stands out so good.
Mm-hmm.
Jeez Louise. What was the other thing we had on the dock there? Sorry about that.
Well, one of the X-Men is Beast, so...
No.
Oh, there you go.
Speaking of Beast.
They call him Beauty.
I didn't go see it because of the bestiality, so...
I was heard this movie's going to make me gay, so... I'm not sure.
I was okay with that. I just couldn't do the bestiality.
Yeah, I had no intentions of seeing this movie, but it just... whatever turned out, and someone asked me, I'm like, all right, I guess I'll go. You know, because I like Emma Watson. I just never, like, I was just like, she's always gonna be Hermione to me. All I can see is Hermione. And I just didn't feel like she really fit the role. And I thought that the personified plates and stuff were creepy. I don't know. I just was like not feeling it. But whatever, I saw it, and it turns out it was actually pretty well done. I'll have to give it to them. Emma Watson was pretty good. You know, it was, I didn't have much expectation, but it exceeded them, and it was pretty well done. It's a good, you know, it's a good, telling of Beauty and the Beast. They keep, it's a musical. So it's not like, you know, Jungle Book, where they stripped out most of the songs. But yeah, I mean, it was. If it, you know, I wouldn't run out to the theater to see it, but if you're interested, definitely give it a shot.
Okay, good. I'm glad to hear that, because I've been wanting to see it in the theater, but if it's not, and I really liked all those live action animations,
yeah,
that they've,
yeah,
well, they're not animated at all, they've done.
I just hope that, because I mean, okay, so now. Now Disney's like, oh, now we need to make every single one of our movies live action. So I just hope it just doesn't get like, I don't know, just like, I understand, if something you think would benefit from a live action version, then sure. But like, does Lion King really need to have a live action version? Like, I don't know that it does. So I don't know. I think they're just going to go overboard with this stuff. I think they announced Mulan, Little Mermaid, like Lion King. Like, it's like, Christ, what's next? Is it going to be fucking Finding Nemo live action?
Well, they make a ton of money. Song of the South.
You know, it's like they're the bottom of the barrel, and it's like, yeah, we're going to do our racist 40s movie where like everybody's happy on the plantation.
That is on YouTube, however. It is on there. Yeah, they make so much money on them that it's not going to end, really.
That's why they're doing it, you know? It's not because, it's going to make a great movie. I mean, not to say they won't be good, but...
I don't necessarily have a problem with it because it's not like any of these movies are all that recent. I mean, Beauty and the Beast was like fucking 25 years ago or something.
I guess. But it's like every... It just feels like they're like, oh! And like all of a sudden they're announcing like every single movie, you know? Eventually, I think they're going to get, to be not great. I doubt that all of them are going to be, as good as they have.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, I'm sure some will not be as good as others. But
yeah, and then time is the great equalizer for all of that. Like you think of like all the remakes and reboots and all that stuff in the last couple of years. Like how many of them, stick around in our consciousness? Most of them are just pretty much gone by the time they leave the theater.
Yeah,
but that might be a... That might be because of our age and all that. I mean, maybe these stick with the kids who see them as much as the other movies stuck with other people,
Yeah,
it's possible.
Time will only tell.
And they definitely make all, pretty much all of the live action ones they've done have made a pretty large amount of money, I think, from what I recall.
Yeah, they have.
Yeah, like
Jungle Book was a huge hit.
Yes, even Cinderella was a pretty big hit, the first one they did.
Beauty and the Beast is cleaning
up.
Oh,
yeah, crazy town, yeah. that's bonkers how much they're making with that. And that was also much more beloved than some of the other ones they did,
Yeah.
So I can see why that would make more also.
Yeah,
I think I'm just above the age of some of those things, like we didn't have all of those Disney movies on VHS as I was growing up because I was already too old for that.
Well, that was the thing that came more into prominence in the 90s, really.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember growing up with, like, Lion King and Aladdin on VHS and watching those like 100 times.
Yeah. Well, like even when I was growing, older than you and Rob, but it wasn't just the movies just weren't available. They would only put out one movie a year or something, of the back catalog of the classics or whatever. So like that stuff just wasn't there. It wasn't really until Little Mermaid hit when it became popular, and also they weren't all that popular at the time either. It wasn't really until Little Mermaid hit that the whole Disney movie VHS thing became big.
Yeah, when they
my day, you want to see a movie, you go to the theater.
You kids don't know how good you have it.
You kids don't know.
That's true. Yeah,
it's true.
Well, I mean,
we've had we had a Betamax. We had the first CD player and the first microwave.
Well, things like Wizard of Oz was only on once a year.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you didn't,
at Christmas time.
If you didn't catch it, then you didn't see it for a year.
And you watched the commercials. Damn it.
So I mean, that there's that whole
time
thing
to go
too.
Pee.
Yeah.
Get a snack. Yeah.
So I mean that's a factor as well,
Yeah. So to me, I guess those movies don't hold that place in my childhood the way they do.
Yeah.
For kids.
Well,
because
you didn't see them
40
times, Whereas kids who watched them after that saw them so many times. And it'll probably be the same with these movies for those kids, specifically Beauty and the Beast, I think. I don't know if, like, Cinderella or Hang On, but Jungle Book probably will. I haven't really seen it yet, but I assume that will. That was pretty big.
Jungle Book. The Jungle Book wasn't bad. Neither was the Find a Word or the Crossword Puzzle Book. They were all great.
Well, speaking of bestiality, the Power Rangers movie...
No.
Opened with a bestiality joke, which was very strange.
For kids.
Yeah, it was strange. It wasn't like a subtle bestiality joke. It was basically a jerking off a cow joke, but not like in a subtle way at all. It was very bizarre.
It seems like they're trying to get the kids, but they're also trying to like appeal to the older people who watched it as a kid.
I think they could have done that without the wrapping two hands around and getting milk out of a cow joke.
Yeah, I guess they probably didn't need that.
No, but the rest of it was fine. There was enough, you know, little nostalgia hints in it, and you know, Amy Jo Johnson and some other people popped up.
Oh,
in
cool.
It. You know, like little cameos, Stanley-ish cameos. It was fun enough, you know, typical of that type of movie, you know. Angel Grove ending, not necessarily, well, I guess it was kind of world ending, but Angel Grove specifically ending. They destroyed every building in town, of course, so the poor little town is going to somehow have to rebuild that.
thousands are dead.
Yeah, everybody escaped. It's okay.
Everybody was on vacation then.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it's fine because you know where they filmed that, don't you?
Vancouver?
In Storybrooke.
Oh, that did look very familiar. I was wondering why it looked familiar. I'll have to tell Connor. He'll love that.
Yeah, the Krispy Kreme was one of the storefronts.
Oh, yeah, man, Krispy Kreme was really prominent in the movie.
Yeah, I keep hearing that. What?
Yeah, they obviously paid buku dollars for it. But it was fine, and they kind of set up the next one at the end.
The next five ones, apparently.
Yeah, I can see that easily happening. But I think they could have done a little better with the acting part of it. But you know,
yeah, like everyone was new, pretty much. Like all the Rangers were like, you know,
nobody was really... they weren't really known act. I mean, so, you know, some were known people, but not necessarily actors. But
yeah,
Moira just sent you a message, Michael.
Oh, that was because we accidentally put the yeah, that was my fault. But yeah, Power Rangers, it was fun. If you don't want your kids to see bestiality jokes, skip the first like a couple minutes. That's all.
Pro tip.
I'll probably catch it when it comes out.
Yeah, it's a fun video rental. It's nothing special, but it has enough.
Oh, here's nostalgia. Important question: is Bulk and Skull in the movie?
You know, I didn't notice them.
Well, I mean, even the characters, like they didn't have a new.
Oh, God, there might have been. You know, I was paying attention, but maybe not that closely. There was a similar type character in there for sure.
Okay.
But I don't know if it was them specifically. I was kind of looking out for that. And then, of course, this rekindled Connor's love for Power Rangers, and we proceeded to come home and watch every series on Netflix, specifically like Megaforce and Jungle Fury.
Oh, gosh.
I will say the Jungle Fury one has the best song of all the Power Rangers. No.
Wow.
It's weird, but it has the best song. It's really freaking weird. It's a pizza place one. The guy's like a hippie. I don't know. It's crazy shit. But the song's great in Jungle Fury.
Get out of here. What? It is? What?
What?
It's a good song. Get out of here. That's great. Hey, Matt, why don't you you saw a scary movie.
Oh, that was a segue. I thought you were telling me to get out of here. I'm like,
we're so
about?
Good at these, guys.
That was terrible, wasn't it?
That was completely... That,
do I get the terrible segue of the show award?
I was completely lost, I'll admit.
Matt, I can't believe you saw this movie because I'm so scared of movies that are scary. I'm so scared.
Yeah, well, it's being described as a horror movie, but it's not like a mass killer stabbing teenagers or anything. It's more like Guess Who's Coming to Dinner via the Twilight Zone. Basically, the I'm not going to get into spoiler territory, but like the basic premise is, this guy who's black is dating this girl who's white, and they go to meet her parents, and like they're super rich, they like live at this nice house, and things are not quite right, and I will leave it at that. This movie is so good. You wouldn't think Jordan Peele would direct a movie like this, but he did, and he's got a great grasp on building tension but still having like humor and stuff. Like the main character has a friend who's like a TSA agent who serves as comic relief, and he's pretty funny. But there's so much social commentary in this. A lot of stuff about kind of how white people try to score points with black people and ultimately kind of seem a little bit racist. Like, you know, there's like moments where it's like, oh yeah, I, just so you know, I totally would have voted for Obama for a third term. Like making sure that they get these like little references, that, like make sure that the, like the black guy can hear you. And it's all this stuff about like kind of white guilt, but also the fear black people have when they're in a predominantly white space. And yeah, there's so much more I can't really get into. I John and I talked about it on, I believe our last episode. We did some spoiler talk. We got into all the wrinkles involved, and yeah, it's a really well-made movie. It's great to see something that like only cost like $4.5 million to make, make over $100 million at the box office. You know, like as we mentioned earlier, like that X-Men Apocalypse movie probably cost $200 million, and who gives a crap? But this one costs what like 2 minutes of that movie costs, and it's got the quality. It's got stuff that you'll be thinking about, you know, as you leave the theater or as you turn off Netflix if you wait for it to get on video. But yeah, it's, you should get out and see it, to borrow the lame joke. Yeah, it's more like a social satire thriller than a straight up horror movie. Like there's not really gory stuff in it. The violence is pretty tame overall. It's for like kind of horror stuff, but it's more thriller satire than straight horror.
Yeah, I will wait until it comes out on video and then I won't watch it because I don't like to be scared.
Oops.
I don't think you'd be scared actually by it.
I don't like it. It's not the, I will watch you blow someone's head off any day of the week and I will laugh because that is funny. But the emotional mind thingy, I don't like that, you know? Like I had nightmares after seeing Silence of the Lambs, and I don't have nightmares watching movies, but that one was like, you know, it kind of like, it was the more the, I was Clarice in the basement when he had the night goggly things on, that kind of thing. Like, I can't do it. I'm too scared. I don't like my mind screwed with. Screwy enough. I might watch it, but I probably won't watch it. So I'm just going to take your word for it. It was really, really good. Because I, even though you say I won't be scared, I probably will.
Well, maybe watch it at home so you can take a break if it gets too intense.
Okay. Yeah, that's true. If you're watching it at home, you can just pause it.
Yeah.
Yeah, watch a sitcom instead, you know.
Then I'll be awake at 3 o'clock in the morning. Dear Matt, I'm very scared. I cannot sleep. Wake up and keep me company.
Tell me the end of the movie so I know.
Does he get out, Matt?
He get out?
Don't answer that question here. No. What is a Thimbleweed Park?
So I want to talk about this quickly. I got a review copy for some reason.
Nice.
It's a game called Thimbleweed Park. It's like an old school like adventure, point and click adventure type of game, which I grew up on and I love those kind of games. And this game just came out. I think it's $19.99 on PC, Mac, and Xbox One, and then eventually coming to Android and iOS, I think. But so it's from Ron Gilbert, who was one of the creators of Maniac Mansion, which some might know. It's quite a classic game. And Monkey Island, the first two Island games. So pretty well-known name in the adventure game scene. But so it's a new game. It's like, old, you know, old school, like pixely graphics and, you know, point and click, you know, solve puzzles kind of game. But if you're into that kind of thing, like definitely check it out. It's really good. I didn't finish the game, but it's just very like nostalgic, and it's self-aware too. It's like it knows it's a point and click game, and it's just really good. And you know, if you like those kind of games, I think you'll really dig this. So I just want to give it a shout out and yeah, try it out.
Nice.
If you're into that. I'm sure there are other people besides me that are into those kind of things. So.
I only play Stardew Valley, so.
And Skyrim.
Well, yes.
Yeah, I was going to say.
In between, yes. Yeah.
Don't you have this little Skyrim thing going on?
Yes, I do that, but right now I'm all about Stardew Valley.
I mean, we're part of the Empire.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah, Empire.
I mean, we're the redheaded stepchild, but we're still part.
Yeah, well, we're not live tonight because Fallout Feed is recording.
Oh,
so.
That's good. Probably better. Huh? Send me that file. I can edit it. Well, that's fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, real quick too, we're also talking games. I did get a Nintendo Switch and I love it very much.
Yes, you told us.
Yeah. Oh, did I get it before?
Yeah, because you were able to play while you were in the bathroom.
Oh yeah.
You're right.
See, somebody here listens to this show.
I've played a little more Zelda since then. I have it for Wii U.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Zelda's absolutely incredible. Like, the game is just...
You know, I just can't get into Zelda for some reason. Really? I don't know why. Yeah. Wow. I never have been able to, though.
It's very different from the others. Like, I thought maybe...
Oh, it definitely is. I definitely enjoyed it much more. Yeah. I need to give it more... I really just need to give it more time. I've been so locked into farming that I don't have
What now?
Stardew Valley. I've been so locked into farming and mining and, you know, building up my farm... That I've only gotten maybe a couple hours of gameplay in, so I really need to give it more.
I think you'll get hooked on it. It's just one of those games that just like they just know how to make a game fun, and it's just like they make these open worlds that are like, you know, there's no like stupid fetch quests, and everything's like, I don't know, everything's just a lot of fun, and they manage to do it in a way that no other game does. So, it's been absolutely incredible. I probably have a good 50 hours almost in it.
Oh, nice. Yeah, I need to get about at least 20 hours in it just to see, you know,
to get a real
feel of it, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Stardew Valley is actually coming to the Switch.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That is. And there's going to be
a co-op mode. Multiplayer co-op mode, yeah, yeah.
I think
I've heard good things about the game. Like, I haven't played it yet, so I might pick it up for that when it comes out.
It's addictive, you know. There's not a ton to it. There's more to it than it seems when you first play it, because I picked it up. It's been out for a while, obviously. But I played it last year for a couple hours. And I was like, yeah, I'm just not into it. Then I picked it up after my Hitman binge, and I was like, yeah, let me see. And I was like, wait, I'm liking this. So whatever it was, it just hit at that time. But there's a little more to it than just the basic farming stuff, but not a lot, but just enough to keep it relatively interesting.
Nice.
Farming, mining, and other things.
I'm just going to snort every time you say farming. I'm just going to do it. Every time you say farming, I'm going to go,
Well, there's farming, so.
Is there
somebody come and help me.
Is there surviving in the game? Do you have to survive?
Somewhat. Not to the point where you die or anything. Oh, yes, in certain aspects. Like when you're mining, you're fighting, you can also fight enemies.
Uh-huh.
So,
what if your farming crops fail and you can't eat? Do you die?
No, you don't have to worry about that. But you do have to eat, like, at certain times to, you know, heal and get energy, you know. If your energy goes too low, you'll pass out, and you do lose some of your stuff, so that does suck a lot. Like, especially if you go all the way down a mine and get a ton of crap, and then they're like, oh, you lost six of your items. And you're like, oh, great, and one of them is an amazing sword that disappears. So it's not that fun when that happens. That's happened to me.
Oh, no.
But it's fun. It's one of those time suck games for sure.
Yeah. Speaking of valleys.
Valley of the Dead.
There's a TV show called Silicon Valley.
Oh, that's right.
I know a lot of people love the show, but I've never seen it. And then I finally started watching it and fell in love with the show and proceeded to watch all three seasons in like 2 weeks. So I just had to mention it because I really like it a lot. And I'm very happy it's actually coming back. Season 4 is later on in April.
Yeah, but, it's one of the 36 shows coming back.
Yeah, yeah. Does anyone else watch it here?
I've seen the first 2 seasons. I'm aware of the blonde girl's friend, Cunty. So I know that much. Yeah, I think it's very funny and quirky and quirky.
Yeah, yeah. And I love all the there's definitely some jokes in there that you only get if you're a little bit nerdy, you know, or kind of into the tech scene. So I appreciate that. But yeah, I like it a lot. I really can't wait for it to come back on.
Yeah. I don't know why I stopped watching the last season, actually. Something must have happened. You know how it does.
So yeah.
What else have we got? What else have we got? Why don't you guys talk about The Walking Dead, since I don't watch that anymore?
I'm like 3 episodes behind or something. I don't know. I know what's going on though, so I mean, I'm not like, you know.
I think it's been picking up a bit. Like it's kind of, you know, if you know the comics, you know, it's kind of heading towards All Out War.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. Yeah. So I don't know. It's interesting because I think it's more interesting when you kind of know what's coming. You don't know obviously everything because they change quite a bit, but I don't know. I think it's been getting kind of interesting. And they haven't been doing, like, what I hated about the earlier part of the season was like you wouldn't see people for like two or three episodes. So like I like that they're kind of keeping tabs on everybody. And kind of having a more cohesive story instead of like all little, it almost felt like each episode was like a different show almost, you know?
Yeah.
The beginning of the season. So I don't know. I'm enjoying it still. And I think that the second half of the season has been better than the first half. And I think that now, do I think that we're going to get a really good season finale? Probably not, because they tend to do that. Yeah, where, you know, like
all that goodwill.
Yeah. Although the second to last episode was like, I feel like nothing crazy really has happened. So like, because I think last season, like the crazy episode was like the one before the finale. And I hated what they did with the last finale. So I don't know.
What happened to the last finale? I don't even remember.
That was the driving where they around didn't. The minutes of them
oh, that was where, yeah. That's right. That's right. God, how could I not remember
that? Yeah. So I don't know. I want some kind of payoff. I want big payoff. Someone should die. Someone should die in the finale. And you know, don't do the same thing where it's like, you know, you don't see the, you know, ramifications until after. Just give us something, like, so just make it big, make us be like, oh shit, we need to, like, I want to see more now. That's what I want from it. We'll see if it happens. I don't know.
Yeah, it kind of feels like the writers have really taken their audience for granted, mm-hmm. and they're kind of seeing it now where people are kind of getting you know, impatient with them just kind of, you know, breadcrumbing the fans with like, oh, here's a little bit here and there. And they've gotten a little bit better, but it's still not like to the point where I would tell anybody who dropped the show to give it another chance.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I think, I mean, we watch it. We usually watch 3 or 4 episodes at a time. You know, not 3 or 4 at a time, but we'll catch up like, watch in 2 days, we'll watch like 3 of them, you know, after we've let them build up. But yeah, we're still
like
in the part
cholesterol. Oh, yeah. Wait, no.
We're still in the part of the season where we haven't even gotten to that Eugene episode yet. So that's where we are. Nope. I just don't know, you know, it's good. It could have been a lot better. So, but it's also pretty far along in its run too. So.
Yeah. I wonder if there'll be any survivors.
Only senior citizens watch that show.
What?
Senior citizens and people who want to be seniors like Colin Tim.
Yeah. Well, some of us watch it because it's a lot of fun this season. It's game changers this season. And, okay, Sandra kind of always annoyed me, I got to be honest, because she's like a gregarious kind of lady. But
Sandra O is on it?
Mm-hmm. No, different Sandra. So anyway, after last night's show, which was Wednesday night, she deserves it all. She honestly, if they haven't voted her out yet, and she's amazing and she's running the show, people are fools. But yes, very good Survivor. I stopped watching it for a long time, and then Tim was talking all about it and being Tim about it. So I started watching it again, and I'm glad I did, because the last two seasons have been a lot of fun. So, you know, if I'm an old person, that's fine. And I agree that that is true. And I also understand the attraction of early bird dinner specials now.
Yeah, I told him I was going to watch the one episode, but then I just never got to it.
Yeah.
And
it's a lot of fun.
It's just, it's too much to keep up on, and it's just too much.
Well, you don't have to listen to the 500 podcasts that come out every week about it.
I just don't care. Like, I liked it the first season or two, and then it was like, okay, yeah, that was good. Yeah. All right, and now we're 45 seasons into it.
Yeah, it's at least at least that many.
It's like time to retire. You know, I'm all about. Yeah. Plus, it's on the same time as Catfish, so.
All right. Well, talk about an old people show. That's a young people show, isn't it?
Catfish was excellent this week.
Yeah, I saw you tweeting about it. You seem quite excited.
Yeah. Well, it was disappointing. Neve was on maternity leave, so that was a little disappointing. But Max was there. Max, superhero. And he laid the law down to these three shitbags who thought they were doing good, and they weren't, because they were the biggest assholes ever on Catfish. I think they were the biggest assholes ever on Catfish because they actually thought they were doing the right thing. But they weren't.
Wow, that's quite a statement. Biggest assholes on Catfish. Wow.
Yeah, I know. That is a big statement because there's been some interesting folks on Catfish. But I would say they are the most genuine shitheads to be on Catfish.
Crazy.
It was a great episode. Last week was a very endearing episode, actually, I got to say. It was a positive outcome episode last week. So watch Catfish. Catfish is great. Max is amazing. He's a superhero. Neve is good too.
Catfish.
Hmm.
I used to have I used to have MTV, but I canceled. I don't think I get.
Watch the back episodes. It's good. It's a fun ride.
I've seen it. I've seen it before, and of course, I saw the movie. You know.
Wow. Yes.
All of a sudden, I was sitting on my couch watching Catfish, and all of a sudden, this light bulb went off. And I think we may have a catfish.
The show is not like the movie necessarily.
No.
You know, it's a light version of it. It's entertaining, though. It is entertaining, I gotta say.
The lady from Catfish kind of reminds me a little of some of the people from S-Town.
From...
Let's not talk about... Oh. We won't talk about that yet.
Yeah, from the movie. Yeah, okay. Yeah, Max and Neve, they're like a legion. Like that.
A legion?
Yeah.
Like a group?
Yeah.
A legion?
Oh, yeah.
Rob, what did you think of Legion?
Oh, my gosh. So, I haven't finished it, so please no spoilers, but I... freaking love
it. I'm one behind.
Okay, cool.
Okay. We will not spoil Legion.
So no spoilers for the finale.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. It's great. It's not like I had no, like when this, I saw like, you know, I first heard about it and I saw the trailer. I was like, this is just going to be a piece of shit show. And I totally wrote it off. And then I just started hearing buzz about it and people were saying it was good. So I was like, shit, I got to give this a try. And they're right. It's so good. It's not what you expect. It's good. It's really good.
Fucking brilliant. Honestly, it's one of the best things. And I know I say that I love stuff and things are beautiful a lot, but Audrey Plaza, that is all. Honestly,
yeah,
give
that's
her
a tour de force
all of the awards. Just give them to her now. You know, honestly, this is so well done. It is such a mind bend that, and I, you know what, I didn't start recording it until episode 3, so I had to watch the first 2 episodes on demand, which was fine, and so I started watching it, and I was just like, not so sure, and then I stuck with it, and I was like, wow, like the first 2 episodes are slow, character development, imagine that, and then it starts to really get into it, and you're like, holy shit, my mind is being bent. And it's just, it is something else. I was just, yeah. Mm-hmm. if I, I was a bit disappointed because I had didn't have episode one and two, and I really wanted Dave to see it. And they took them off demand because here, of course, maybe the same thing happens there, but we have secondary services like you guys have Hulu. We have Crave TV, mm-hmm. and they have them. So you have to pay for a membership to see them. And I'm so considering actually signing up for this thing. They've been trying to get me to sign up for a year and a half just so I can make Dave watch Legion. You know, I think if you're willing to sign up for a new service for a show, that says something.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Scott, Audrey Plaza is, I did not think she had this in her. She's mind blowingly good.
Yeah, it is a tour de force from her for sure. Like, she just, you know, we saw her on Parks and Rec for all those years and probably playing some version of herself. But this, she really spreads her wings and just goes in so many different directions because what she's playing goes in so many different directions. And yeah, and like kind of going back to Logan a little bit, because you know, it's kind of connected with the X-Men thing. These things are kind of things we need now for with the superhero genre stuff, because you know, as much as I like the Marvel movies, we can get into kind of a sameness thing. Whereas Legion is unlike anything on TV, much less anything superhero related. It's so, like, there's such a clear voice to it. Like, it feels almost like it could be a period piece. Like, it's something from the 70s, but it takes place kind of today.
Yeah, that's interesting. They never really give you an exact time of even what decade you're in. It's interesting.
Yeah, and the imagery is so good. And this is from the guy who brought us Fargo, the show. And it's, you know, this guy's now 2 for 2 for me. Like, and it's also one of those Legion's one of those shows where it's like, at first I'm watching it and I feel like once this is all over, I'm going to have to watch it all again because, like, yeah. there's so much stuff going on. Like, you're not sure, like, what to pick up and what's hints and what's just flourishes. And you know, by the 7th episode, it's like, okay, I kind of got an idea where what is going on, but I want to see episode 1 again, kind of knowing what I know now where it goes.
I keep finding myself like, I'll start the next episode, I'm like, wait did I skip an episode, like did I miss something? But no, it's just that kind of show, it's mind fuck. And it just kind of goes all over the place. But in a good way.
Yeah, I agree. I think everybody in this is so well. And Dan, what's his name? Dan Stevens?
Yep. His name?
Wow. Like, holy shit. He's amazing. Like, all I know him from is Downton Abbey.
And actually, I just figured this out. He's the fucking Beast in Beauty and the Beast.
I know. Yep.
Well, no, because you don't see him really.
Yeah. Well, I was watching an interview with the guy that writes Fargo and Legion. And can you imagine taking a tour around inside of his head?
Yeah, and he also wrote a book somewhat recently, too.
Yeah, he's a busy guy. So he was on...
He doesn't sleep.
No, he's crazy. But yeah, to be able to have those, to have that much quality in your brain is crazy.
Because
Fargo, and Fargo's coming back too, isn't it?
Yeah, Fargo... I think the 19th.
Yeah.
Yeah, can't wait. It's been almost a year and a half since season 2 ended, and yeah, that's one of the best shows on TV, and Legion certainly making a good case to be right up there.
And even Gene Smart is so good in this. You know, everybody, the guy from what are they called? You know, Oliver.
Yeah, Jermaine Clement.
Yeah. All of them. They're just so good.
That's a role that he is I'm not used to seeing him play either. It's everyone's kind of like out of their comfort zones or out of their usual is.
I was thinking about that, you know, when you were talking earlier, that everybody must have felt very comfortable on set to be able to be the best version of themselves, and well, not themselves, but of these characters. Because when you see the stuff that Audrey Plaza does, you're just like, clearly, she was very supported. by and felt very comfortable on the set, because to be allowed to have that kind of comfort to just let it out like that is just something else. You don't see that very often. And bonus points for the show for me, there's a character on it who is played by my voice acting coach.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Who?
Benny.
Oh.
Yep.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm. I was like, Kirby? Yeah, it was. So I just felt a little bad about the way they described his character in the show. Fat middle-aged man. I've met Kirby a number of times. Not fat. So, but still, that was kind of cool. I didn't know he was in it, and I was just watching the show, and I was like, is that Kirby? It is. How cool is that? When you see people you know on shows like Legion. Holy shit. I wonder if he could introduce me to Audrey Plaza. So I could drool on her shoes and tell her how good she is.
Yeah.
So, anyway. Am I the only one that's seen Iron Fist?
I saw two episodes.
What did you think?
Well, it was pretty much a 180 from Legion talk.
That's true.
Oh, yeah. God. So bad. This whole thing, like, John has had a viewing party. Like, he has a viewing party for all the Marvel shows, like, when they come out. Mm-hmm. And usually we watch, like, three, and this time we barely got through two before we ended up playing on the Nintendo Switch. You were laughing at some of the stuff. It was so bad. Just, like, it looks so cheap. It looks so rushed. There's this, like, eagle or bird or whatever that flies in the city. Mm-hmm. It looks like a notch above Birdemic level bad CG. Like, it is so bad. Like, the writing sucks. It has, like, all that white savior bullcrap. Kind of like he's the main character is, like, trying to explain to Asian people how to do martial arts, and the martial arts, it makes that scene in Game of Thrones where Jaime and Bronn were fighting the sand snakes look like The Raid. It's so poorly done. Like, apparently they showed him, like, some stuff 15 minutes before they started shooting, as opposed to actually training him. And it's unbelievable. Like, you think about, like, the stuff that you saw on Daredevil, like, just those bone crunching fight sequences, and this, just so bad. Apparently it gets a little bit better, but it's still, it doesn't get better enough to really recommend it. Yeah. It's
Well, I've seen the whole season. And I didn't hate it that much, but I'm not as discerning as you. So, you know, there's that. You're filet mignon and I'm Chuck.
Okay. Well, I also watch a lot of stuff on the CW, so I'm not, like, a snob by any means.
No, I don't mean that you're a snob, but you know, you see a lot more things than I see. I don't, you know, I drink a lot.
Yeah, my dance card is pretty full with shows, especially next month.
Yeah. So I thought that it completely, that they clearly did not spend the money on the effects for this show. The fight scenes were so slow. Hate the movements, not like Daredevil. Like you said, Daredevil, the hallway fights, the close knit fighting, you know, was so fast and so amazing. And then to go from that to this, it was just like, I didn't feel that there was a hell of a lot of chemistry between the two lead characters. Yeah, you know, Madame Gao shows up. She's kind of cool. It was definitely not my favorite. And yeah, I know what you mean. Like, some guy, some white curly-headed dude, blonde curly-headed dude telling the Asians how to fight. That's cute.
Yeah, Loras Tyrell. No, sorry. Yeah.
So, I mean, it was... I was at least able to get through this one, which with Daredevil season two, I couldn't, you know. So, I don't know. I still say Jessica Jones is the best.
I agree with that.
Yeah, I would agree. Yeah. I liked Luke Cage a lot, but I would say Jessica
Jones. But I think they were also just disappointing because they were pretty solid. Like, even, you know, Daredevil, Jessica Jones, Luke Cage, were all pretty solid, you know. And to hear that this is, I didn't watch any of this just because I heard such bad things. And I'm not really even that interested in Iron Fist either. Yeah. So, like, that on top of the negative reviews, just I just don't have an interest. So, it sucks. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, like, I'm wondering when they all get together, right? How are they going to work this out? You've got Daredevil super fast fighting and Iron Fist in the corner going, punch, one, two, kick, two, three, punch, three, four. Like, how's that going to work, you know? I don't know. But I'll watch it. I'll watch the whole damn thing, probably. By trial and error, one way or another, I'll end up seeing it. Oh,
nicely done.
Trial and error is so funny. Is anybody watching this show but me?
I've heard it's really good, but I just have not had the time for it, unfortunately.
Okay, John Lithgow is in this show. It is so funny. There's also a girl who looks amazingly like Audrey Plaza. Is it Aubrey? Aubrey Plaza.
Aubrey.
Who is not in any way related to her, but you would think that they are sisters. It's got, who else is in it? Sherry Shepherd is in it, which I didn't actually place her right away, which was kind of funny. But these are quirky people. They are very quirky people. And John Lithgow's character is so funny. And so he doesn't quite get how to phrase things right, which is interesting when you're on trial for murdering your wife, you know? Yeah. So if you get a chance to check it out, it's a really good, funny half hour sitcom. I really enjoy this one. It makes me laugh every single time.
And it has Michael Levine from the Rights to Ricky Sanchez podcast.
Does it?
He's,
oh,
the,
wow.
He's one of
he's
the writers.
He's not in the top billing of the cast.
No, he's so. one of the writers.
Is he? Oh.
Okay. You got to trust the process.
And he comes from where?
He's from Philly. He does a Sixers podcast. It's called Rights to Ricky Sanchez.
Oh,
it's
okay.
A whole thing. It's a whole inside Sixers thing.
Yeah. Anyway, this is about a New York lawyer who is in a small town, South Carolina, trying to represent a man who's been accused of brutally murdering his wife. So, and it's funny. At least I think it is. So check that out. Yeah, like I said, I hadn't watched sitcoms in a long time, but I'm getting back into them because there's some good and funny ones out there. Sorry, Matt. Yeah. Go ahead.
That's okay. Yeah, there's definitely some good cast. It's got Gina Mays, who was on Glee, and she was the waitress on Heroes that Hero was into.
She's so funny on this show, too, because her accent is real funny. She plays Caroline Kane. Caroline Kane. And he's like, is that three names or is that Caroline? Like, he doesn't get it. Anyway.
Nicholas DeGosto, who I know from Masters of Sex, and he was also on Gotham, if you really want to watch that.
Dave still wants to watch that. We have a whole new season to watch of it on the PVR, and I can't bring myself to do it.
Life's too short. I gave that show way too many episodes already, and like, yeah, there's too much good stuff out there to watch.
It's true.
And such as The Americans.
You which, Americans, I swear.
Yeah, what? Yeah. We Americans and... So Americans is back for their fifth season. Now more prescient than ever. The story, it's a period piece in the 80s about Russian spies who are deeply entrenched undercover as basically an American family, and it goes from there. So far the fifth season, very good. The acting is so amazing on this show. Kerry Russell and Matthew Rhys, and they're a real life couple now, apparently.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, they had a kid last year, I think.
Kids.
Yeah, and much like a good period piece, like a Mad Men, like they know how to integrate the era into the show. They're not like jamming 80s references down our throat all the time. And yeah, it's, you know, so far season five has been very good. And we're kind of in the end game almost. They got one more season to go after this. So I'm really looking forward to seeing how the ending is going to start to play out.
Nice. I wanted to see this show. Oh, sorry, sorry, sorry. I have to remind my husband I'm recording. Hold on.
I'm chewing.
Yeah, and it's it was created by a guy who was a CIA agent as well.
Oh, was it? I didn't know.
Yeah,
that.
So he has to like run the scripts and stuff through the CIA to vet it, you know, just to make sure he doesn't accidentally, like, subconsciously reveal like confidential information.
That's your president's job. Did I say that out loud? As a Canadian, I try not to comment too often, but you know what? They're making it really hard.
Yeah, well, The Americans next season apparently is going to be a documentary with the way things are going.
Oh, we laugh because it's sad if we don't.
Yeah, it's a big old S town.
Mm-hmm. You get a chocolate chip.
Speaking of which.
S town. Okay, so who has heard the whole thing? I've heard the whole thing.
I have.
Me. Yeah.
I've only listened to the first episode to kind of get a taste for this show.
Oh, you didn't get a taste for it. If you don't listen to all seven, you don't know the show.
Yeah.
It's just the way.
It's true.
It's on. Yeah. It's one of those shows where if you don't hear the whole thing, you have no context for what the show actually is.
Yeah, it's true.
Well, I mean, at least the first.
Four or five, really.
Yeah, yeah, I think so. But it does make it, yeah. It's hard to say much about it without.
And then season six will make you cry. Something. So there.
Huh? Chapter.
Chapter. Chapter six, season six.
I was like, wow, they really rhyme with it. Yeah.
I've been listening all day.
Because I will say, the first episode, I wasn't going to listen like after halfway through it. But stuck with it.
I thought it was a lovely, beautiful story.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I thought.
Fantastic.
It wasn't at all what I expected. Not at all what I expected. No, but I can appreciate it for what it was, definitely. Like, if you think of it more of a novel than a crime drama, right?
Yeah, I think that's how they sold it, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think they sold it as, like, I think people who liked Serial,
mm-hmm.
they kind of got that people... you know, those kind of people into it, us. But it ended up being something completely different, but still very worthwhile. Like a really,
yeah.
I don't know, I think a really great piece of journalism.
Yes.
Yeah. A really nice story. You know, just a very nice package.
A good, complete,
well, and a really interesting look.
Yeah.
Well, it was a really interesting look, too, into a lifestyle, like that small town. That a lot of, like, I've never grown up in a small town. I don't know what that's like, what that community is like, you know. And
I think
it's
easy
to perceive things in a certain way. And even, you know, in the conversations he was having with the cousins versus Tyler,
mm-hmm.
you know, it would be very easy to assume a lot of things and a lot of, and Tyler assume things, the cousins, like, assume things. And it's easy. And we all do that every single day. And the other mm-hmm. thing for me about S-Town that touched me really was that I've talked about this a little bit on the show, but not a lot. I had a really bad nervous breakdown 2 years ago. Like, shut my life down, honestly, for over a year. And to hear somebody's depression so clearly laid out like that.
Yeah.
And that level of loneliness. It really hit my heart. Like, honestly, I really felt very connected to him.
Well, I thought chapter six was so good because mm-hmm. You talk to people who more remembered him before things changed for him.
Right.
You know, before he locked in on the, I don't know, locked in on the negative or whatever. I mean, obviously from listening, we know what caused it.
And perspective, honestly and truly, is everything. You know, I've done a lot to claw my way out of a really serious depression. And when I think of the way my brain worked and the way I thought and the way I perceived everything at that point in my life was so negative. And the way I see really negative people now, I can very clearly see it in other people. Do you know what I mean? Like my filter's lifted. And so when I see somebody who is in that place, I can see it like a beacon to me, you know, the way they see everything, the way they phrase things, everything is negative. Nothing is good. The sun is shining. It's too hot.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's raining. Now I'm wet, you know?
Yeah.
And when you get into a depression like that, it honestly takes you over. And it doesn't matter what the cause of the depression is. Your brain still...
Whether it's whatever.
Is going to do... Yeah. Your brain will lie to you all of the time. Mm-hmm. And depression is a nasty fucking liar. That's what it is.
Well, it's kind of amazing how that first chapter wrapped back into the last chapter.
Yeah.
You know, how they're in his workshop in the first one and how that figures into the last one.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And then, well, what effect has that had on Tyler as well?
Yeah.
Because he's been there for a lot of that. So there's all these things that kind of, and I'm speaking vaguely, obviously. Yeah. So it's, you know, there's all these things. And really, there was only two people that I looked negative, two people that I recall anyway, other than, you know, the... tattoo shop guys who are wacky weirdos, whatever. But two people that I really looked at negatively at the end. Rita, I actually turned back and forth on, and I was kind of negative towards her at the end. I mean, I thought she was doing the right thing for some people, but in the end, I was kind of just like, eh. I mean, I don't think she's a terrible person. I don't think she's a great person. Yeah, and
the nipple ring thing turned me back.
Yeah, that was kind of like, fuck you, what are you doing? And then
gross. And
then that goddamn lumberyard guy, fuck him. I hope he gets lost in the fucking maze and never comes the fuck out. Fuck that guy.
Oh god, yeah.
Yeah, but that's why he is the lumber millionaire, because he has no ethics and he's a shithead person, and those are the people that rise to the top.
Yeah, he's a complete shithead. Just, I hope a tree falls on his fucking head. I mean, just what a shithead. And it wasn't anything he necessarily said, just everything he said when he said it, you know? And he really had no bearing on anything. It was just to hear him, and I'm just like, man, what a shithead.
Well, and it hits close to home right now, because you're hearing a lot of those people have found their voice recently in the media, right? Like in the real world.
Oh, they've always had it. That's the problem.
Yeah. But the thing that's interesting to me about this is that when we started talking about this in the group, I have listened to so many, like Tannis and the Black Tapes and all those, that are scripted serial dramas, that I thought that's what this was. I didn't think this for a minute that this was real.
Yeah, no, this completely. It's probably one of the realest podcasts you'll hear, actually, I would say.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's so well produced.
Yes, definitely. Yes.
That I thought, well, this is obviously a scripted show like all the rest that I've been listening to. That's where my brain was, you know, like I wasn't thinking.
And after a few
reality.
And I can see where, like, after a few episodes, you could get the idea that, oh, they're just ripping on small town America or whatever. But really, they don't in the end. It kind of comes around and you get a full scope, I think, of life in the area. Not of life in the area, but you get a full scope of the story, I think.
Yeah.
And where in the beginning it's completely negative, you kind of get a better full scope view after that.
Yeah.
If you get all the way through.
And it's good that they dropped it the way they did all at once, because that would have been really super aggravating to have waited like every second week for a new one to come out.
I think this benefits from listening to back to back instead of like doing one a week or whatever.
It had to be dropped all seven, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
The only thing about it was is that the way they uploaded them, I know I'm the only person left in the world besides Colleen still using an iPod.
Yeah.
But
I use an iPod. Okay.
Do you?
The way that they, when you download them all, they go in the wrong order.
Oh, did they? Yeah, I just streamed them. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't have that problem.
I listened to them the first day. I was done by the next morning.
Yeah. Wow.
So like on the drive to work the next morning, I finished up. And then I told Kyle, I was like, yeah, like you got to get on this and finish this. So then she finished it today and we talked about it.
Yeah.
You should have recorded or we could have played it.
No, we didn't talk on the phone about it. We're messaging back and forth about it. But yeah. So listen to the broadcast if you want to hear her thoughts next week. Not this week.
So Steph Smith wrote in the group and she said, okay, I live less than an hour from this place.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, there are quirky, peculiar characters everywhere, but I am dubious about this whole story as I finish the first episode.
Again,
I'll check in as I finish.
I was very dubious after the first episode. I will completely grant that. And also, it's got to be a different perspective for Steph because she lives in the area. You know, it's just a whole different thing. When you're
she
talking
also
about
says
that.
It's fake because nobody lives in Alabama without air conditioning.
No, people do. There are people who do. And I think you get an idea of that if you listen to the whole story, like kind of why and all that. But
did we get any feedback from Steph McGuire on this?
No, I don't think so. She didn't like it as much, I don't think. But
yeah, she felt a little bit duped, I think she said, in her Twitter.
I can understand that to a certain extent. Here's where the problem comes in, and not with her. I mean, in general, with trying to sell this show.
Mm-hmm.
How do you stop the speculation without ruining the show? You know?
Yeah, you can't. You really can't. I mean, for me, I got to the end and I was like, well, that was a nice story.
Yeah. You know,
like, that's how I felt about it. And then I felt like I needed to dig a little bit deeper to see how real it was. So I understand, like, if you were not expecting to enjoy a story, like a novel,
a
novel, and you were expecting a murder mystery to be wrapped up by the end of the first
season.
I
just don't know then how they tell
could
you
have
that.
Sold that to us.
Yeah.
I understand what they did, but I mean the way they were selling it is really not what it is.
No, definitely not. Yeah. And really they kind of sell it that way in the beginning of the show as well.
Yeah,
not just outside the show, but the show itself kind of.
Yeah, the first
episode. Yeah, but
and
I
the
think
preview
that
they released with the clocks motif, you know.
Yeah, but I think that's also part of the journey too. Because you're listening intently to things and you're picking up on things because you think something like that, which allows you to put things together at the end, I think.
Yeah. I mean, I spent the first episode and a half trying to figure out who was guilty of the murder. Right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so, yeah. I thought that it was definitely worthwhile, and I would almost say that I would go back and re-listen to the first few episodes, like maybe in about 6 months or so if I...
I want to listen to the whole thing again for sure.
Yeah. Mm.
Because I think it would benefit from a re-listen to kind of just hear the story without...
waiting for the shoe to drop, kind
of? Yeah, kind of. But with knowing what's going on, I think it gives you a different perspective. I think it was great not knowing, and I think you could get a different... feel out of it if you did know and listened.
Yeah.
Did you guys look up any photos? Like there are photos out there.
I retweeted a photo of the maze.
The maze is incredible.
Oh, the maze is insane. There's also a photo of this is a spoiling anything, but of his tattoos.
Oh yeah, too. Yeah.
Yeah. Kind of crazy.
Oh yeah, I saw that.
Yeah.
Kind of crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a really interesting part of the story, you know, and hearing all perspectives of it, you know, or all views of that, it was kind of like really interesting.
Yeah. That's one word.
Yeah. Well, I mean, because you got the different angles of, you know,
why and what.
Yeah. What were the reasonings and all that kind of stuff. And I think that was important.
Yeah.
Mm. I would love to do, I would love to like actually hear as people finish in and whatnot, I would love to hear people's feedback and maybe next time we can actually like talk fully about it and have it like
yeah because it is still pretty fresh. I know a lot of people didn't
so I don't want to
should do an S-Town podcast, just one episode for S-Town and talk just talking about it, you know. Maybe have Steph on.
Well,
give us some local flavor.
Yeah. Well, it's I will say that just the one thing is you it takes a while to figure out what it is. You know, so if you're unsure, I would say keep going.
I appreciated it more after I had finished listening to it, and then I thought about it a little bit.
Yeah. Well, I was really completely wrapped in by, like, I enjoyed it in the beginning. First episode, not so much, but that was an incredibly important episode for the story. But I was half in then, and then by like episode 5 I was like, this is something special, you know.
I'm slower than you.
And episode you know, maybe it was episode 6 where I really thought it was special, and episode 5 I was wrapped into it. But it definitely benefits from listening straight through. I think if you had a week to, I don't think you could have dropped it week to week, because there would have been all this speculation about stuff that doesn't matter, and it would have taken
people
away.
People would have started investigating online.
It would have really taken away from the impact of everything. So
All I wanted to say about Alice Isn't Dead is it's back for season 2. So if you enjoyed season 1 of Alice Isn't Dead podcast, go ahead and check that out.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little bit scary, creepy murder.
Oh,
mystery.
Is it a
murder? There's no murder involved, but it's
podcast.
Completely scripted.
Yeah,
it's completely scripted drama. That's all I listen to these days. Scripted dramas on iPod.
That's good.
There's some amazing stuff. Like, I'm re-listening to Tannis because there was so much in it, and it's, you know, it's so well produced. I do love it. And they've got a new one out called Rabbits, which is produced by the same team. And unfortunately, they're getting a little bit rusty on the laurels of their format, to the point that their background noises are exactly the same as from Tannis. Like, they have a little police radio play, and it's exactly the same sound clip they use in Tannis. It's like, at least get a new sound clip. You know. So, anyway, Rabbits is okay. Alice is dead, or isn't dead, is back. I finished the Leviathan Chronicles, and I don't think there's going to be an ending, unfortunately, which was kind of sad, because it's 2 seasons, and it's really quite good and really well done, but I think it became a bit too much, and then the guy who writes it, his wife is passing away from cancer right now, so I don't think that's going to happen. Anyway, we have some
Mm-hmm.
Ready for the feedback.
Do it up.
Oh, Matt, have you? Oh, you're still up on.
I really had nothing to say because you guys were like, "Yep."
No, you. You're up on Magicians, of course, right?
I am.
I really love this season a lot.
Yeah, it's interesting because I'm a fan of the books first. I read them a few years ago, and season 2 is almost completely off book. Almost none of this happens. Which I can kind of understand, because book spoilers, but they're really on a boat for a good chunk of the second book.
Oh yeah, you couldn't do this whole season
and be like, yeah, it'll probably be way too expensive, and be like, yep, they're still on the boat.
Yeah
So they had to like mix it up, and a lot of the stuff with Julia in book 2 is actually used in the first season, because it was a flashback subplot.
Oh, okay.
And most of like kind of that, like they're going after Reynard, it doesn't happen. It happens off camera, basically.
Ah, okay. You just hear about it or something like that.
Yeah, they really only mention it, and I'm surprised he never, the writer Lev Grossman, never revisited it. Like wrote like a short story that kind of tied it up, because it's like, oh yeah, this happened, and that was that. But yeah, it's a pretty solid show. I like kind of what they're doing. switching it up, and it's a kind of a good example of how to change stuff up when you're doing an adaptation.
Yeah, for sure. I think it's just a really fun, enjoyable show, and I like it a lot this season. I do hate Quentin, I have to admit, but I do like the show in general. It's the character, not the actor, but the character itself, you know. But I don't know if you're supposed to love him necessarily, you know.
Yeah, there's probably a little bit of commentary there where the straight white guy is like the least competent person in the
cast. He's so, I don't know, emotionally immature, I guess, as compared to everybody else on the show.
it feels like the characters are also aged up from
what they're supposed to. Yeah,
because they're like 17 when the book
starts. Oh, okay, yeah, and they're all like 35. So
talk about representation in films.
Yeah, no, they're definitely not 17. Let's put it that way.
Andrea from 90210, come on now.
Early 30s.
Yeah, oh yeah, Andrew Zuckerman was like 30 on 90210. She's like 75 now.
Some teenager could have had that role.
Some teenager could have had that role. That's true. That is true. Alrighty. We do have feedback from Dez and from Maggie. I don't know. Let's see who this one is.
Hey, Rob, Mike, and Michaela. And if you have a guest, I don't know. I am so out of touch with everything that's going on. This is Dez. Yes. I am caught up on the podcast, though, so that's nice. Oh, can you hear that? They're working on the house next door, and there's a lot of sawing going on. And I'm out back, so, yeah. Sorry about that. Anyways, I just thought I'd call in and say hi and let you know what I'm watching. Not a whole lot. I don't get a lot of TV these days because, you know, 7-month-old baby, it takes a lot of time. We are watching The Detour. I took that recommendation from Jack from the Merry Band Show. It's actually pretty fucking funny. And it takes a really dark but still funny turn in the middle of it. We're about halfway through, I think. But I'm enjoying it. Even the kids are funny on the show. And, you know, kids a lot of times are not great. But they're actually pretty funny. So that's definitely enjoying that. I would recommend it. It's Jason Jones is the main guy, I think. I think he's Samantha Bee's husband. Anyways, and it was written by him and Samantha Bee. And Natalie Z plays the mom. I love her. So it's pretty good. I recommend it. What else am I watching? We just started Legion. We watched the first 2 episodes. I have no idea what the fuck's going on, but I'm definitely still watching it, and I'm interested to see what's going on. Dan Stevens is absolutely beautiful, you know, Cousin Matthew Sopp. So yeah, I'll keep watching it. My husband, he's like, he keeps looking at me, he's like, I have no idea what's going on. But I guess you're not supposed to know, so I'll keep watching that. I don't think I'm watching much else. I mean, like, not a whole lot. So that's what we're watching right now. That's it. Oh, and The Walking Dead. Yeah, we're still watching that. The only reason I'm still watching that show, actually, is because it's pissed me off for the past 2 seasons. It's just got on my nerves so bad. But it's the first show my husband and I watched together. So there's kind of a little bit of a romantic, you know, gesture in there, but he still wants to watch it, so we'll see. We're about to cut the cable, you know, cut the cord on the cable, so the satellite, actually, we don't have cable, but we're about to cut that cord after this week, so I guess next time we won't be watching The Walking Dead as it airs. We'll be watching it when it hits whatever Hulu or wherever it goes. I don't know where it goes. We actually have stopped watching a lot of shows as they air and are just going to watch them. Like The 100, we'll watch it on Netflix. It'll be posted after the season ends. So, you know, that's why we're not really watching much of anything, because we can just watch it whenever we want, which is awesome. The only show that we're going to have a problem with is Doctor Who, because, you know, my husband is a huge Doctor Who fan. He wants to watch it when it airs. He doesn't want to wait and watch it later, because that's his favorite show of all time. So I don't know what we're going to do there, because we can't download anymore. We have gotten so many notices from our internet company saying, stop downloading or we'll cut you off. So we stopped doing that. But we have Netflix. My parents have Hulu, and we share it with them. And my daughter has Amazon, so we share it with her. So we all share all our channels, so we got everything covered, basically, which is really cool. So there's already too much shit to watch on all those things, and so I don't really need any satellite that costs a lot. Anyways, I know I'm rambling, but, you know, I'm home all day long with a 7-month-old, and she's not that great of a conversationalist. It's all that, 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 that. So I just sometimes just ramble. Anyways, I miss you guys. I want to hang out with you guys again. It's been far too long. Hopefully we can get that set up sometime in the future, get a big group together, do another Vegas or something. Anyways, yeah, I need a vacation. A child-free vacation. All right, love you guys. Talk to you later. Bye.
Bye. Thank you, Dez. That's awesome. Did you like that noise, Michael? That was just for you.
The construction.
Just for you. I just want to make a quick point about sharing accounts.
Yeah.
Sharing accounts. If you are going to share an account with somebody, make your own profile.
Oh, yeah.
Do not
go
into your wife's profile and watch Adam Sandler movies.
Oh, no.
And things happen to her algorithms.
Oh, man. I know. Mine are all messed up. Well, Hulu added profiles, I think, recently.
It says, because I watched Ridiculous 6, I might be interested in A Million Ways to Die in the West.
Oh, Jesus.
Probably not. So anyway, make your own profile. Pet peeve. Yes, Dez. Maybe you could get your local pub to have a Doctor Who night on Doctor Who Day, and then play the show, and then maybe have some trivia, and then West could see it live. Just a suggestion.
They don't have some kind of like. Oh yeah, don't they release them on like iTunes?
Or something? Oh yeah, yeah, you can do
season pass or something. I don't know, because of the cable and all that, there might be, I don't know, but it might be worth looking into. Yeah, you buy a season pass and it just downloads when there's a new episode.
I'm surprised like BBC doesn't have their own service.
They probably like do.
Everyone's
getting one. It's kind of.
Yeah, I thought
there
BBC
is a British
going
service
to.
Where you can pay a fee. I feel like it's called ITV, but that's not right. That you can, I know my dad has it, so we can watch all this British stuff. It's available. Yeah. What about Maggie? I'm so proud of you, Maggie. I wish I had like an ounce of your amazingness. Just wanted to say that.
Here's Maggie.
Maggie knows why.
Hey, Michaela, Michael, Rob, and Matt. I'm calling in with some feedback for Chatterbox. I am listening to S-Town. I have been listening to it kind of nonstop since it came out, like Mike said, on Facebook. So I'm on chapter 6. It's really good. That's all I'm going to say. Just keep listening. And I'm really glad they're all together, because it kind of feeds right into each other. And I like that a lot. So go listen to S-Town. I was sick earlier this week, and I watched all, so far, 6 episodes of Big Little Lies, and I think Chris Kolk said something about that on one of the recent episodes, and yes, thank you for that, because it was really, really good. I'm really obsessed, and I kind of can't believe going into the last episode and have no idea who the murderer is or who has died. I have at least 5 5 combinations of it that are possibilities. There are probably more if I really tried and thought about it, but because basically almost anyone on any character could have killed another character on the show. Almost. So Big Little Lies is really awesome. The only other thing I've been listening to a lot of lately is the new Beauty and the Beast soundtrack. I really enjoyed Beauty and the Beast. I am loving the soundtrack. Josh Groban singing Evermore is amazing. I didn't mind Dan Stevens singing it, but it's Josh Groban. Josh Groban is awesome. And I really, really liked Beauty and the Beast. I thought Emma Watson was awesome. I wasn't a huge fan of Emma Thompson singing as Mrs. Potts, like doing Tale as Old as Time, and Ewan McGregor with Lumiere's, the singing part, I didn't like that enough and as much as the Disney cartoon, but that's just me. I loved the touch that Emma Watson gave Belle as she tucked her dress up out of her way because part of her dress would get in the way, especially her blue dress from the beginning, and I just thought that was really awesome. I just really, really enjoyed Beauty and the Beast. It was a lot of fun. I plan to watch it over and over again. Disney remaking these live action things. I like Cinderella. I've liked Beauty and the Beast. I'm just going to have to tell them to take my money every time they do one. Just take it. Take it, take it, take it. And, oh, the other thing I'm listening to a lot is Ed Sheeran's new album Divide. I really like that. I don't know if anybody else is a big Ed Sheeran fan. I am. I like his music. There's some good songs on there. Castle on the Hill is really a good song. And I also like Nancy Mulligan. There's a lot of good songs on there. It's just, there's some fun stuff and there's some more definitely serious, more serious stuff. So can't wait to see how you guys have been. And I will talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, Maggie.
Nope. She's not gone yet.
Hey, guys. I realized I forgot, like, the most important part of my Beauty and the Beast feedback. It's Maggie again, P.S. LeFou. Josh Glad as LeFou was amazing. Amazing. It was literally my favorite part of the movie. I have a new favorite character in Beauty and the Beast, and it is LeFou. I loved it. I know there were some people that were all upset because there was a gay character in Disney, which, let's be honest, he was gay in their cartoon, too. It was just a little more subtle than it is in this one. But at least my theater, like, died every time. And so, yes, he was my favorite character in Beauty and the Beast. And the one other thing that I've been watching recently that I wanted to talk about was the Victoria on PBS, a masterpiece. I think it was it's a BBC thing, but I really, really liked it. Queen Victoria was pretty damn awesome. I mean, if you become queen when you're 18 damn years old, you know, in the 1800s, like, come on. So, kind of become a little bit obsessed with Queen Victoria. I have some plans to watch some other movies about her and read some more stuff about her, but because she's pretty awesome. So, and the show is really well acted. I really liked it a lot. It is very PG though, because it's on PBS and stuff, and I'm used to Outlander, so I was looking for my Outlander sex, and there was no Outlander sex in Victoria, and I was a little disappointed. And I really cannot wait for Game of Thrones and Outlander. Game of Thrones actually comes out sooner than Outlander, but I get them.
There we go.
All right.
Both seasons of Outlander actually just landed on Netflix today.
Oh, did they? In Canada?
Canada, yep.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I love Ed Sheeran. I think he's very talented. And
yes, he is.
Yeah.
And there's a baby that looks just like him on the internet this week.
So. I think he gets backlash because he's, you know, incredibly successful. But in general, he's pretty good.
That happens. People are only comfortable with a certain level of people being awesome, and then they need to tear them down.
Yeah.
I appreciate him because he's got a good voice. He's can actually play an instrument, which is a plus. Not all current musicians can do that.
He can even write stuff.
He can write stuff? Imagine that.
Yeah, he's a pretty cool dude.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen, there's a video of him on YouTube where he's singing I Don't Need You Man, You Need Me, or something like that. Anyway, but what he does is he's on his own in the studio, and he lays every single track. Like, he does this
He'll loop stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, he loops all this stuff together. And then he's like the only one playing. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. And for those who don't know, I've done it before. Like, it's incredibly hard. It's not easy to do that because, you know, you have to time it up exactly. So you have to really have your, you know, a good rhythm game. It's difficult. It's not yeah. easy. So major props and respect to him.
Yeah. He's so talented.
Yeah. Her Beauty and the Beast feedback was right on. I didn't mention LeFou, but he is amazing. I totally, totally agree with that.
Well, I'm sure Michael would also be less on board with anybody other than Angela Lansbury singing.
That's true.
That is a good point. Although she's going to be in the Mary Poppins reboot.
Huh. Really?
Okay, then.
She's the balloon lady or something.
Hmm.
Which, I mean, at 90-some years old, that's pretty amazing.
Yeah, if you could still do it, why not?
Yeah. Yeah, so she's going to be in the reboot of Mary Poppins, which, Lin-Manuel, whatever, is going to be in that. He's a Chim-Chimini Chiru.
Emily Blunt.
Emily Blunt, yeah, that's it. I think that'll be fun, I think. I mean, I didn't really love the first one as a kid. It wasn't really my thing, but I know it has a lot of catchy stuff, obviously.
You know what I liked, if you remember, Bedknobs and Broomsticks.
I did. I loved Bedknobs
and Broomsticks. That was great.
It's much better than Mary Poppins.
I love that.
Mary Poppins was too proper, I think, is what it was.
Yes.
If there's such a thing. I don't know. But Dick Van Dyke was pretty fun as with his terrible accent.
Dancing penguin?
Yeah. I mean, that was back then. I mean, that was fun for back then with that terrible accent. And
see, back then they used to let Americans play British people.
Yes, they do now.
Talk about representation. Spike. No, all the British people are playing American.
Well, it goes both ways. Like, look, Spike's been a British guy forever. What's his name?
Oh my God, how much did you? I mean, I personally have been loving all the 20th anniversary Buffy stuff.
I haven't really seen it. I saw a few pictures. That was it. Yeah. But I haven't really sought it out, you know, in any way.
Well, I've pretty much been seeing what's been posted in the potential cast group, I think.
I don't hang out there so much.
Burn.
Just kidding. I know,
it's
I do
showing
see.
Showing up in my feed.
I see them pop up, but I can't read 45,000 words on why Joss is amazing. I just don't have that
but
energy.
He is, though.
Yeah, he's gonna do Batgirl.
Is he really?
Yeah.
I did not know that. I didn't really follow his career that closely.
He's everybody's white savior. He's gonna do Batgirl. White male savior. Gonna save female movies now.
Hey, someone needs to represent teenage girls. Why shouldn't it be?
No, that could be fun. Nobody's really tackled that. That would be pretty fun to see how it goes. And he definitely has experience, obviously.
Here's the thing. We're all a lot of different things, you know? Like, as people, we're all not one thing. Like, Joss can be a middle-aged white guy and a teenage girl. We can all be more than one thing at the same time.
So Joss is a teenage girl at heart?
Oh, I think that's clear. I think he admits to it.
Oh, man.
He's about 17. Female 17-year-old. That's maybe he's grown about 22 by now.
Oh, gosh.
And I'm okay with it.
Oh, maybe. Well, when are we? We probably won't be recording till May. So,
why? We've been doing one a month. We're doing really well.
Well, April's a little tough. Everybody's traveling. That's what I'm saying.
It's true. Maybe towards the end, possibly.
Yeah, possibly that last week. I think I'll be back home. But
yeah.
I'm running another marathon, New Jersey marathon at the end of the month, the week before Raleigh.
I'm so jealous you're all going to be together.
I'm just going for a day or so. I got to come back because I actually am running Sunday morning in a race. So I'm only going to be there a short period. Hopefully, I can avoid Jess. I don't know why
everyone
Jess.
Decided this year to go.
There's a lot of people we don't know going too.
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah. So I feel newbies.
It's weird. Some years like a lot of people go, and other years only a few go. You know, it's strange how
was
how
it? We went down last year, right?
We
all went down last year. Yeah, three of us drove down together.
Wasn't too many people last year.
That was just right. Oh yeah, because we did the tour. Nice. Yeah, yeah, we went to Chip and Sarah's brewery. Not brewery.
Yeah, that was fun. Yeah,
distributorship.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it was good.
Yeah, it seems
that's
like
be something packed. We couldn't have done like if there was a huge group, I guess.
So. I guess if you have like 50 people, I don't know. There's so many people that seem to be in that thread. I don't even know how many people it is, but.
Yeah.
I'm going to go down, I don't know if I'll drive or fly or whatever, but Friday and then come back Saturday afternoon.
Yeah.
Which kind of sucks, but is what it is.
Yeah.
I won the lottery, so. Happens.
There you go. Is that it?
Yeah,
we don't have anything else to talk about?
No, I got to pack.
Oh, well, that's a good idea.
And I got to go to bed.
When are you leaving?
Tomorrow night.
We're only
going with the shorts. I mean, it's not like, you know, it's going to be 90 degrees. There's not all kinds of crazy packing going on here.
This is true. Well, I have got to go and tuck my chickens into bed because I let the little ones out today and now I have to run around like a crazy person trying to catch them.
I have to do that in Stardew Valley, too.
It's funny to me because lots of people want to come sit around my campfire in the summer, but nobody seems to show up to do any wading in the spring. I have to fix that problem. 1 hour of wading for every 4 hours of campfire. That's fair, right? I think that's pretty fair. Anyway, I'll have to plant my potatoes all by myself. That's what I'll be doing tomorrow. Anyway, Matt, it was really nice to have you here again.
Yes.
Thank you for having me.
It's been too long. Would you like to tell people where they can find you on the interwebs?
Certainly. Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at MattLovesTV. You can see my progress of my 365 albums in 365 days challenge. Mm-hmm. I'm at, I think, 110 right now.
And how's that going? Have you heard some stuff you love that you didn't know about or some stuff?
I'm revisiting old stuff, but I'm also checking out some new stuff. So, I'm making the most of my Spotify subscription for sure. it's getting a workout every day. And, it's a good thing. And you could listen to my podcast, Damn That Television. I don't think we'll put out one this week, but usually comes out around Sundays. It's me and my friend John. We talk kind of like Chatterbox about what we've been seeing. We usually like highlight a few, like, you know, 2 to 4 different things and recommend streaming picks. You can check that out on iTunes. And you can also listen to my radio show, The Drop, a Pop Culture Mixtape, every Sunday night. It's live from 6 to 8 p.m. On WSCAFM.org. You can just click the listen now tab. I think it's, you can just click the thing that says listen and it'll take you right to it. Each week we kind of do a different theme and I play just about every type of music. This week we're doing funny songs because it's like the day after April Fool's Day. It's a lot of fun. And you can also check out the archives for the last 2 weeks on RadioFreeAmerica.com, and you can search WSCA and just look for The Drop from there. And I think that's it.
Good show, lots of fun.
Yeah. Occasionally I'll go on Facebook Live so you can get in the Facebook group.
I've been wanting to play around with Facebook Live.
Yeah, Matt can show you around the studio.
Yeah, I take you behind the scenes. I show you the studio. I show you what I'm doing in between songs. It's pretty fun.
It seems like a fun tool for that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Most of the time,
I've never
done
Facebook Live. I'm not sure what to talk about on there. So don't bother.
Well, yep. That's it. I think for plugs for me.
Awesome. So I guess I should probably go and catch chickens.
Yeah. Probably.
I should probably do that too.
Me too. I gotta go feed them and
so many chickens.
Get their eggs.
It's a little time.
Wow. I think I have 20.
That's loud. Oh my god. Woof.
Oh wow.
Woof. Whoa.
The Chatterbox.
I got I haven't played it this way in a long time, where it was like through my computer. I've been playing it through my phone. Woof. And that's the wrong theme anyway. Oh my god. Oh my god. What's going on here?
We are pros.
Jeez, I didn't even rack. I'm like, why is this so loud? All right. We'll pretend that.
Hey, you get what you pay for.
Yeah.
Fix it in post.
Pretend that was the right one. Jesus. All right. Good night, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.
Good night.